whose feast day it is today, and who is the great mystic of the Sacred Heart, precisely because of that encounter, learned an incredible amount about the virtue of charity and sins against it and how they are punished in purgatory. Specifically, I want to focus today on the sin of gossip and slander, which is an incredibly common sin amongst Catholics. You really want to listen to this one. And she reveals many other things about purgatory that I want to share with you. And at the very end of the video, I want to share with you from her autobiography, a prayer to the Sacred Heart composed by the saint herself that will greatly increase our love for the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and above all, will transform our hearts to be like his. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, this is taken from a book by Bob and Penny Lord. There's a story of a woman who went to confession to her local priest. She confessed to having gossiped about some of the people in the parish. The priest told her that for her penance, she should take a feather pillow up to the bell tower of the church and shake out all the feathers in the pillow. She did as he instructed and went back to the priest for absolution. He said to her, "Before I can absolve you of your sins, you must now go out into the village and pick up all the feathers which you scattered." She said to him, "But Father, that's impossible." He replied, "That's true, as impossible as trying to undo the damage you have done by slandering your neighbor." Now, this begins to give us an image of why we have to spend so much time in purgatory and how spread out our sins go in affecting other people. Listen to something that St. Margaret Mary Alacoque saw herself. One night she was praying for two people of high standing in the secular world who had recently died, when she had a vision of purgatory. She saw these two women of the nobility there, two women of the same station in life, but their periods of purging were completely different. The one a noble had been guilty of ruining the reputations of many of her subjects. She was sentenced to many years in purgatory. How many is many? We don't know for sure, but considering the serious repercussions resulting from her sins, you can be sure they were beyond any suffering she could have done on earth. And that's understandable. However, the thing that really surprised us was that all the masses offered for this lady first had to go to the souls of the members of the families who had been ruined by the gossip and slander which this person had spread about her subjects. After all the prayers and indulgences and masses were used for the families, they would then be credited to her until she served her full time in purgatory. On the other hand, the other lady was completely different. She was sentenced to as many days as she had lived years on earth. Because of the way she treated her subjects, she had put up with the shortcomings and faults of her neighbors with great love and charity. She may have actually been a role model for them where charity was concerned. In addition, she took great pains to overcome any animosity she may have had toward them. So in the one instance, sins against charity caused one soul to suffer longer in purgatory, while in the other, giving charity to a brother and sister reduced the amount of time the other soul spent in purgatory. St. Margaret Mary was given many visions of souls in purgatory. One day she was praying for two deceased nuns when she had a vision of them in purgatory. They were each in cells of suffering. However, one suffered much more than the other. This nun now regretted greatly how she had lacked charity toward the other nuns in her community, but she could not undo the harm she had done. Her eyes had been opened and she grieved because she had not only deprived them of her friendship, but herself of their friendship. Not only had she missed the love and fellowship of her sisters in religion that she could have been sharing while on earth, but because she had refused to love her sisters, she could not benefit from the prayers being offered for her by them. Gossip is one of those things that it's like this infectious disease that's in Catholic churches. It's as if we feel entitled to gossip about other people because we're Catholic. And we cover it up by, as my wife likes to say, saying things like, "Well, you need to pray for so-and-so because this and this and that." And we laugh about it because we think it's cute and we think it's this sort of simple defect. But that word that you said is now spread to another person, and that person will be affected by that, and then they will go and treat others differently, and so on and so forth. And all of those things, all of that evil that is spread out to all of those different people, not the least, the bad reputation that now you have affected that other person. You have maybe shared something that you shouldn't have shared, that didn't need to be shared, or you said something false. And so now people are giving less love to that other person, because that's the point of gossip, right? What's the point of it? We want people to love that other person less. We want them to esteem them less. We want them to think less of them. And so that person is receiving less prayers here on earth and many other things that they suffer from. Especially if you've been gossiped against, you know how it damages your life. In purgatory, we will pay for all of it, every single last bit, unless we repair it fully here on earth. And if you heard from that first story, you can't. Once you gossiped, it's over. You can't atone for it. Saying you're sorry is not enough. We have to fix the thing that we broke, because even if we tell God that we're sorry, and even if we go to confession, that person is still being affected by the sin you committed. So you could say it's almost like an unatonable sin. That's why it's better just to keep your mouth shut, to ask for this grace. This is a reason why in the book of James, it says something that, like, the tongue, despite being so small, can cause immense amount of damage to someone. We know that we shouldn't speak ill of our local priests or our bishops or the Pope, but we shouldn't speak ill of anyone. If we see them doing something wrong, pray for them. Go and correct them. Now let's hear what else she has to reveal to us. This is straight from her autobiography. On one occasion, when I was praying before the Blessed Sacrament on the Feast of Corpus Christi, a person suddenly appeared before me, all enveloped in flames, the heat of which penetrated me so powerfully that I believed myself to be burning as well. The pitiable condition in which I beheld him caused me to shed an abundance of tears. He told me that he was that Benedictine monk to whom I once went to confession, and who had ordered me to receive Holy Communion, and that as a reward for this, God had allowed him to have recourse to me that he might obtain some alleviation in his sufferings. He asked me to apply to his soul all that I should do and suffer for 3 months, which I promised with the consent of my superiors. He then went on to say that the cause of his suffering was his preferring his own interest to the glory of God through too great attachment to his own reputation, secondly, a want of charity towards his brethren, and finally, too natural an affection for creatures, many proofs of which he had manifested in his spiritual dealings with them, thereby greatly displeasing God. But it would be difficult for me to express what I had to suffer during those 3 months, for he never left me, and on the side on which he stood, I seemed to be all on fire. This caused me such intense sufferings that my tears and groans were continual. My superior, being moved with compassion, ordered me to perform severe penances, and in particular to take the discipline, because the bodily pains and sufferings imposed upon me through charity greatly relieved those which this sanctity of love inflicted upon me, as a slight sample of what it causes those poor souls to endure. At the end of 3 months, he appeared to me in a very different state. He was bathed in joy and glory, and about to be admitted into eternal bliss. He thanked me and promised to be my protector before God. I had fallen ill at that time, but as my suffering ceased with his, I soon recovered. In this story, St. Margaret Mary gives us the incredible charity that she had to the suffering souls in purgatory. This you can only get as a grace by having a devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, whose heart is filled with so much charity, a heart that when he would see people suffering, he wouldn't just sit there and pass them by. He would do anything he could to relieve their suffering. That may not be natural to us, but we can ask the grace, and I will have a beautiful prayer for you at the end of the video, so that our hearts can be like the heart of Jesus, that we stick by a soul in purgatory, so to speak, for even 3 months, suffering whatever they need to grant them relief, knowing that they will be relieved of their suffering, and that we will obtain for us an incredible intercessor, both in purgatory, but especially when they are in heaven. Now let me share with you this final story. A gentleman, father to one of the novices of the community of St. Margaret Mary, being dead was recommended to the prayers of the community at Paray-le-Monial. The Charity of St. Margaret Mary, then Mistress of Novices, induced her to pray more particularly for this person. And on the novice repeating her request for her prayers, some days after she said, "Be satisfied, my child. He is in a state to benefit us by his prayers instead of needing ours." She then added, "Ask your mother what generous action her husband performed before his death, for it is that which made the judgment of God favorable to him." The novice did not see her mother until the time of her profession. She then asked what this act of Christian generosity was, and learned that when the Holy Viaticum was given to her father, a butcher of the town joined those who accompanied the Blessed Sacrament and placed himself in a corner of the room. The sick man, perceiving him, called him by his name, told him to approach, and cordially pressed his hand, asked his pardon with a humility very unusual in persons of high rank for some severe words he had said to him some time before, and was desirous that everyone should witness the satisfaction he made him. St. Margaret Mary had learned from God alone that what had passed, and the novice knew by this truth of what had been revealed to her holy mistress regarding the happy state of her father. In other words, these acts of humility and of charity towards others are very agreeable before God, and they could obtain for us a much less severe judgment and much less time in purgatory. Now let me share with you the prayer to the Sacred Heart composed by St. Margaret Mary herself. Listen to this. O Sacred Heart of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Thee I consecrate and offer up my person and my life, my actions, trials, and sufferings, that my entire being may henceforth only be employed in loving, honoring, and glorifying Thee. This is my irrevocable will, to belong entirely to Thee, and to do all for Thy love, renouncing with my whole heart all that can displease Thee. I take Thee, O Sacred Heart, for the sole object of my love, the protection of my life, the pledge of my salvation, the remedy of my frailty and inconstancy, the reparation for all the defects of my life, and the secure refuge at the hour of my death. Be Thou, O most merciful Heart, my justification before God Thy Father, and screen me from His anger, which I have so justly merited. I fear all from my own weakness and malice, but placing my entire confidence in Thee, O Heart of Love, I hope all from Thine infinite goodness. Annihilate in me all that can displease or resist Thee. Imprint Thy pure love so deeply in my heart that I may never forget Thee or be separated from Thee. I beseech Thee, through Thine infinite goodness, grant that my name be engraved on Thee. For in this I place all my happiness and all my glory, to live and to die as one of Thy devoted servants. Amen. Saint Margaret Mary, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, if this video has helped you in any way, please subscribe and like, and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.